And we talked, you know, you read Ephesians chapter 4, and the latter part deals with the gift ministries, what God gave the church and the purpose for it. But you're really, the beginning part of that chapter deals with how we walk. And I was thinking about that, and on this path that we're on, it's not just to know where we're headed and what gifts we have and who we're with, but we really need to know the manner that we are going to be able to walk on that path. Because on a spiritual journey, you can't be arrogant. Arrogance basically is crippling. You don't move anywhere with arrogance. So much of what the world would impart, you know, again, the pride, the arrogance, the ambition, a lot of things that we get outside from the world around us are of no value to us when we're walking with God by the Spirit. So it can be very frustrating for believers if they have an understanding and an awareness that, yes, there's a spiritual thing happening in my life. Jesus Christ is leading me on this journey into this fullness, and yet try to do it the way the world has conditioned us to do it. We're left with the feeling that it can't be done. It seems very frustrating. It's only frustrating because we haven't yet experienced enough of His Spirit and enough revelation that God does things differently. And when we talk about our spiritual journey, if we look at the natural, what we're conditioned by the world with, basically you have things inside, I think on a heart level. There's a drive to fulfill that. That's a good thing. There's also a lot of ambition that's generated by the false ego. That's where people get lost in a lot of false idols. Money, power, you know, just look the way the world goes. People are driven, but it's not because it's something in their heart. They're driven by the ego into nothingness. And also with that, from the world, we get an overdose of anxiety. If you're not connected to your heart and you detach from ambition, you're just sitting there, being in this world, you feel anxious. That's not something that's from God. It's not just something that's unique to you. There's something wrong with my life, and that's why I feel this anxiety. That's the state of the world around us without Christ. There's an anxiety that pushes people to run, to move. Yeah, that's all it is. It doesn't lead anywhere. It leads to misery and mental breakdown and all other sorts of illnesses. So that's what we have from the world. And the spiritual journey is so much different because it's not a race. Now, Paul described it as a race, running a race with endurance. But as we define a race, according to the world standards, life is a sprint. And you got to run hard and you just, you know, run harder. And then if you don't get there, you keep running and running. Even though you're exhausted and falling apart, you feel that push. Got to keep moving. To what? It doesn't matter. Got to keep moving. You're going to miss out, you know. That's the anxiety. So that sprint just wears people out. With God, it's not that way. When we talk about the journey, the path, the race that Paul described, it's not about our human energy, our human ambition, our religious striving. Those things are of no use to us on the spiritual path. When we talk about the spiritual journey, there's three words: stand, sit, and walk. We're all focused on the walking part, getting to where God wants us to go, where we need to go. But unless we understand and learn how to stand and sit, we won't know how to walk. So let's look at those three. They're in relationship to each other. And I think the more we understand the path of the Spirit, we realize there's no room for the anxiety. It fits in with what Jesus said, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. You know, I'm not laying something heavy on you. The spiritual path we've thought of as being so hard, it's only seemed that way because we've been trying too hard in our flesh. And the harder we try, the more frustrated we get. Actually, the path that God has prepared is a path of rest and peace. As we grow, as we move forward, our anxiety doesn't increase, it decreases. And we learn to experience the rest of the Lord. But the Word says that God's ways are not our ways, meaning that this journey and how we approach it is not something that originates. We can't figure it out with our human mind. We need the revelation from God to realize, hey, this is a different way of traveling here. Nothing in my experience in the past, nothing in the world around me, or my history has ever prepared me for this. That's why Jesus Christ, who lives in us, he says, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. I think that prayer is going on continually. Be enlightened to this pathway that God has opened up. We call the spiritual journey. And as he reveals it to us, we realize it's totally different from any journey we've taken in this life. Stand. Turn with me to Exodus 14. This is a good example as any dealing with human anxiety and what God's Word does about it. This is when the Israelites were fleeing from Egypt. They came up to the Red Sea. Now, when the Egyptians were following them, all of a sudden this great journey that God started for them didn't seem so great. You see, they were on a spiritual path, weren't they? God gave a word saying, I'm going to free my people. The Israelites responded to the word through Moses. It came from God. And God was leading them somewhere. Then all of a sudden, that spiritual path doesn't seem so good anymore because they were approaching it with their own human conditioning. If you read in chapter 14, verse 11, as the Egyptians drew near, they became very frightened, and they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? That's Exodus 14:11. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. They're on a spiritual path, but their human conditioning, the fear, the complaining, the slave mentality, all these things would not let them go forward. They were stopped in their tracks. Now, the story doesn't end there because God had a man named Moses that wasn't following just his own human conditioning. He was following the word of the Lord. And Moses said to the people, verse 13, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Here's a major transition. Here's this, all this anxiety of the people. And they're in their anxiety, they completely lose sight of God's purpose. They're saying, really, it would have been better if we never left here. Well, that's not what they were saying when they were in Egypt as slaves. Anxiety has a way of polluting our awareness and causing such distortion to our thinking. Nothing's clear. It's hard to see the truth when you're real anxious. So here they are, full of anxiety, and what does Moses say? Stand. Stand still. And see God. See what God's going to do. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. In other words, God doesn't need all this energy that's coming through you. Just quiet down. You don't have to do anything. No performance necessary. Nothing to be anxious about. Look at God. He'll work for you. And as it unfolds, the Red Sea parted. They passed through. The Egyptians did not. But I think this is important for us to realize. How do we walk with God by the Spirit? We need to learn to stand still on His Word. And that's the only cure for anxiety, I think. You're not going to reason yourself out of your mental battles, but when you stand on the Word of God, what God has spoken,
You're in a place, like Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When we're standing on his word, we're in a position to see God's salvation at work in our lives and in others. It doesn't mean that God is not working otherwise, but if we're anxious, we're just not seeing it. We're not being blessed by it. So learning to stand on the word of the Lord brings such a stability and a release from anxiety, and it opens up revelation to just see what God is doing. I like that. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. I think there comes a point where we're confronted with this on our spiritual path. We've been taught to fight for ourselves. And you know, in this world, you learn how to do that to survive, don't you? You want anything, you got to fight for it. But like, people are in such a war mode all the time. In marriages, in relationships, a lot of fighting. People fighting for what they want, what they think they need. At work, take any arena in life you want, that attitude is there. But when it comes to the spiritual path, there comes a time where God says, I want you to keep silent. This fight isn't yours. I'm going to fight for you. I think that's kind of hard to take as human beings. For one thing, God isn't a physical being where you can look at him and say, I can see what you're doing. You've got somebody that's invisible, yet he's made everything, speaking to your heart to give it up. He'll fight for you. That is standing. That's standing in faith in the word of God. It's the only way we do that. But that's how we move forward spiritually. We can't walk until we learn how to stand, and we'll see sit. Okay, a few verses with this, and I'll move on. I'll just read this one. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, stand firm in the faith we're talking about. Romans 5:2 goes like this. I'll read verse 1, 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Okay, as we're standing on the word of the Lord, we're standing in faith, we're also standing in grace. Boy, that's a good thing to put your feet into, I would say. Something very solid to stand on. Nothing's going to shake the grace of God. And Ephesians chapter 6, and last one on this. 6:13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Again, it says, stand firm, therefore, having your loins, girded your loins with truth, and on and on. Again, standing. Talking about resistance in this evil day. It's talking about us humans and what we have to battle all the time. And God is not speaking, feel sorry for yourselves, you poor people. Moan, complain about it, become resentful. God is just saying, you're resisting, you take on the full armor of God, it's battle time. Stand. Stand firm. What about sitting? Well, this is something as we're journeying that really transforms how we think. And I guess I better read a few verses for, you know what I'm talking about with that. Ephesians 1:20. Says, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, it's important to know where Christ is. Seated at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, that's the realm of God's Spirit. Now, chapter 2, verse 6. Now the Lord says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's one thing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is seated, but the Word of God is saying that because of his being seated and he's in us, we are seated in the heavenly places with him. Now, this is an experience as we move on in God that it's very necessary for us to have. We need to learn how to sit in where we are sitting. Again, the flesh fights this. It's like, you know, no, you're being passive. You can't do that. You got to get out and do something. Do what? It's sitting with him in the heavenly places that we receive the revelation of who he is. What's more important than that? Remember last week we talked about Mary and Martha? What was Mary doing when the Lord came? Seated at his feet, learning of him. This is not passivity. This is really, I think, using our energy for the greatest purpose, the greatest good. That's why Jesus told Martha, you've been worried about so many things. But Mary has chosen that thing that's important. Learning to sit. This is kind of involves, I think, the meditation of our heart. Waiting on God. It's the same thing. When you're waiting on God, you're seated in his realm where he can bring transformation. He can touch you. He can reveal to you what he wants to reveal. So as we're moving forward, how can we walk if we don't know how to sit? How am I going to know how to walk on my spiritual path if I'm not seated with the Lord at his feet, receiving revelation of what walking with him is all about? Now we see the problem, I think, with so much of the Christian religion and churches. You get people in, they get a taste of the Lord, they get indoctrinated with the scriptures, all the truths, but they're never really taught or given permission to go be with Jesus. Because once they're in the system, you got to keep them busy. Got to get them involved. Got to make sure they keep coming every week. So the church generally has a second agenda that greatly interferes with the first. Because people need to learn how to sit with the Lord. Personal, one-on-one encounter. So that out of that, they know how to walk in what he's given them. Instead, we can be religious and say, well, we'll just keep preaching at them. Tell them what they're supposed to walk in. God says to walk in love. You don't need to sit with Jesus to learn that. No, you can hear the words from me. But it's Jesus Christ that'll make it real to your life where it's a revelation, and that revelation enables you to do it. You can't program people to walk with God. You can tell them about it. But as we sit with him, it becomes real, and then we can do it, seated with him. Colossians 3:1. Says, when you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And I just want to point out that when, as we experience this being seated with him, there's a different kind of seeking that takes place in us. People are searching all the time in the world. That's why people grab onto so many idols. They're looking for something. But when we're seated with him and that revelation is flowing, we're seeking the things that are above. It's like we're on the upward pull. We're on that track of what God is speaking. We're on that track of life. So it's not just wandering around saying, I'm hungry, I just got to try this, try that. When you recognize that you're seated with him, you're seeking the things that belong to the Father, that which is above. Set your mind on the things above. That's where the mind can start to experience transformation, renewal. We can't reason ourselves into the mind of Christ. You can quote all the scriptures you want. It's not going to change the problem you have with your thinking. When we're exposed to him in that heavenly realm, That's where His Spirit can bring the change to our minds. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's not mind control. It's transformation by His Spirit. The last thing is, I forgot the last, stand, sit, walk. Okay, we got, the walk is the easier part. Now, once we understand the first two, you are, out of that, you are energized and enabled to walk in the Spirit on your path. And it's not a bunch of theory, it's not that you're trying to do, it's not a lot of human striving. Out of that revelation, out of standing on His Word, the faith, you find that what comes out of that is you are walking in the Spirit. Let's look at a few facets of that, because walking on the spiritual path means something has been left behind. We talked about the anxiety being broken, that hold that has over us being broken. But the human ego doesn't survive this one. When I say human ego, I'm not talking about you as a person. Maybe I should define it, the false ego. That which generates arrogance and pride and all the things that make our life miserable. That cannot survive on the spiritual path. Once we are walking by the Spirit, we leave that behind. Ephesians 4, chapter 1. We're going to describe just a few aspects, I think the most important, of what it means to walk on the spiritual path. Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called." He's talking about what here? Walk. How you walk. "With all humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This is what it means to walk with God. Humility, gentleness, patience, loving one another, oneness. How do we do this? That's just it. We don't. Those that are experiencing the Lord, being seated with Him, these are the fruit of the Spirit. This is what naturally will come through our lives when we're in that place before the Lord, seated at His feet, and He's meeting our heart. And as we walk, this is how we walk through life. Now, look at this. Doesn't it seem kind of strange compared to what the way the world teaches us to walk? I've been watching commercials since we got a TV, 10 years old? Something like that. You're bombarded by all these advertisements trying to condition your mind, telling you this is how you live in the world. This is how you need to walk. This is where you need to be going. Well, I tell you, nothing I've experienced out there in any way relates to these scriptures. Humility, gentleness, patience. What about ambition? What about making things happen? I mean, no, see, walking with God is something totally different. But look at the world, with all the talk, the bravado, all the money that's out there, all the power. What a mess we live in. It just doesn't work, does it? It's only God's way that's going to work. This is the way of the kingdom of God. So we walk in the humility, the gentleness. Another verse says about walking in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:2, and this will be our last one. It says, "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Walk in love. That's all you need to be armed with in life. You feel kind of vulnerable when you think that's all I'm going to have. I need some mighty armor to get through this life. God says you need humility, you need gentleness, you need patience, you need love. If we have these things and nothing around us, outside of us, can overcome us. This is the spiritual path, and this is the path as people take it. You know something? It's not going to be promoted with religion. This is not something you can market and sell. It doesn't appeal to the human ego or the ways of the world. But these qualities of heart are the means for God's kingdom to become a reality in the earth. It's not something that people want to look at necessarily because, again, they want something that they can promote. They want a larger-than-life vision they can look at and their ego can relate to. But these qualities of heart are what God responds to. And ultimately, all our efforts are not going to produce that much. What do we really want? We want God to be free to move in the earth. So when we walk in these qualities of heart, you think, I want to do the will of God. What work should I be doing? When you're walking in these qualities, you are doing the will of God. You've created an atmosphere for God by His Spirit to move. What greater place can there be for any of us? Our spiritual journey. God help us and bless us to be able to learn how to stand. Give ourselves permission to stand and to sit and to learn of Him. And out of that, to be able to walk in those qualities of heart that are God's heart and move forward to everything He has for us. As I close this and I say, give permission to yourself, look at how you've been conditioned and say, okay, it's all right for me to respond the way God wants. And this may sound kind of silly, whatever, but I think we get so worked up. You just need to stop and say, I've been created to stand in Him. I've been created to be seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. I've been created to walk in the love and the humility. And just let all that other stuff just pass over. It's kind of like you just let go. How do you let go of a lifetime of conditionings in history? Day by day, you feel that stuff come up, just let it go. That's the work of the cross. Humble yourself before the Lord. Say, Lord, something's dying here. Let that conditioning pass. Let go of it and grab on to the spiritual principles here. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, strengthen our hearts with your light. Lord, we believe for your grace because this is what we want in our hearts. We've chosen the spiritual path long ago. We recognize, Lord, that there are ways that it can become more real to us and we can continue to grow into new areas on that path. We believe, Lord, that your anointing breaks the yoke that the world puts upon us, and upon our thinking, upon our emotions, that we are freed from that oppression by your sacrifice on Calvary. We believe, Lord, in that freedom that we can, in the midst of a world that's going crazy in so many ways, that we can stand still, faith in what you've spoken, that we can sit with you and learn of you, and we can walk in the humility and love that we know are your will for our lives. Bless us, Lord. Pray your Spirit go deeply into our hearts, just dividing soul from spirit, opening us up, Lord, to the hunger that we have for this reality. Amen. Yes.
Couldn't help it not think that our walk leads us into our rest. And certainly we're learning how to walk with the Lord And that's what this life is all about, learning to walk with the Lord. But I really believe that the walk will lead us into a period of tremendous rest and tremendous peace.
Can I participate in?
Sleepless nights are nights of difficult rest, but we found that perhaps with a little bit of exercise and a little bit of just prayer, those nights and seasons of refreshing are a lot easier. Funny thing, a quote came to my mind while Dave was bringing the word about an Olympic athlete. It's kind of strange, but Olympic year that we're in now. The quote is from a summer Olympic athlete, perhaps one of the greatest athletes of all time, at least in the 30s. In the Berlin Olympic Games, Jesse Owens won 4 gold medals. And one of the great quotes that I remember from his life was, he says, well, he was being interviewed and he said, you know, I love to run. And running's natural for me. It's the gift of God. But he says, I never run when I can sit down. And he says, I never sit down unless I can lie down. He says, when I lie down, I go to sleep. I mean, you know, it was a tremendous quote from a great athlete. And I just came to me while we were into the Word today. But there's something about the rest of the Lord that the walk is leading us into. A tremendous period of confidence where we're going to stand and see the salvation of our God. And that's what the quote that Moses gave to the people, wasn't it?